This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, on the Fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Center. We've got a great show for you today. Wild, wild weekend of stuff. Anyhow, the Yankees can't take three out of four. Had a shot, but they split with Toronto. The New York Mets have another horrendous homestand as Pittsburgh this time takes the Sunday game and the series 11-1. And the Mets, of course, on the receiving end of just a comical, I mean, you can't invent the crap that this team deals with. Take me out to the ballgame twice, lengthy reviews, arguing during the seventh inning stretch. It's a joke. Just like the NBA Finals are a joke. And a lot of other things in between. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. And, you know, watching the NBA Finals last night, Craigie?
It is fun to watch Golden State the way when they're hot.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's actually like watching the Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah. It's really what it's like. And when Klay Thompson's doing his thing, and Steph Curry is just, I mean, it was ridiculous what he did. He went right around LeBron James. I mean, it was ridiculous.
It was pretty good display of dribbling,
and
huh?
It was great dribbling, great quickness, great understanding, great awareness. And somewhat embarrassing to LeBron, I would imagine.
LeBron had
a great game. He had a great game. And with all the turnovers that Golden State committed in the first half, 13 of them, and LeBron having what he was doing in the first half, Golden State was still winning and leading the game. And it just goes to show you that when Klay Thompson's doing what he's doing,
yep,
and Steph Curry's passing the way he's passing and shooting the way he's shooting,
they ain't gonna lose.
And then you add a player of Durant's caliber, I mean, they may go 16-0 here.
And
to me, that's the underlying goal, I think, for the Golden State Warriors. They had the great season last year.
Right.
You know, they kind of floundered a little bit, you know, at times this year, and it looked like they were disinterested at times. But now they are locked and loaded. Steve Kerr was back last night, and it looks to me like it's all about going undefeated in 16 games.
Yeah, thing I'd say about that, and I do not think it's a fair comparison to last year, is that's exactly how last year started off as well. Now, granted, there's no Durant last year. I don't think Draymond Green's going to kick anyone in the balls in between games two and three.
Right.
I will say this. Normally, a blowout's not enjoyable to watch. It really isn't. And in the third quarter, at one point, the score was, I remember looking at it saying, all right, the Cavs are down four about midway through the third quarter. It's like, 88-84, something like that. Right? And I go, all right, we got ourselves a ball game. And literally, in a span of a minute and a half, they're down 11. And this team makes shots from 40 feet. They don't give a damn. They pass. It's fun. Like, they blew them out. And it's, I have to say, was highly entertaining.
That was one of Steph Curry's, in my brief watching what they have been doing, that had to be one of his best games ever. I mean, the passing, the dribbling, the long-range shooting. I know he's had some probably other games, during the regular season since he's been healthy and he's been doing everything that he's been doing where he's probably matched that performance yesterday. But, I mean, he's throwing up 40-footers, dude.
Yeah, and the one-on-one against LeBron, which, you're right, embarrassed LeBron. Everyone said, there's always that thing you say, guys get together in bars, hey, one-on-one, right?
Yeah.
LeBron versus Jordan, one-on-one. LeBron versus this guy, one-on-one. Now, I agree. If LeBron had the ball first, he probably doesn't give it up.
Right.
But Steph Curry had the ball there and putting on a clinic of how to dribble past a bigger guy was awesome. It really was. Because the Steph Curry, one of the allures I think of Steph Curry, there's a couple of them. One is that
He's relatable in
his body stature.
He's not 6'9".
Right.
He's not all jacked up muscularly. He looks like a regular dude. He loves to shoot. Can shoot from anywhere on the floor.
He loves the pass.
But he's relatable.
But he loves the pass,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's great. It's
you see
great.
What he drops a pass in now? I'll say this. This is his new thing and has been for a while. He'll throw a great pass, and he'll turn around and he'll give you like the goggles on
right.
the eyes. Like, I saw that. Look what I just saw. Look, right. look what I just did. I could do without some of that nonsense. But all I can tell you is that I think that their motivation now has got to be 16-0 and the greatest playoff run ever. And I don't know what they're averaging through the playoffs in terms of points per game.
I think they're winning by 11, going into the series by 11 a game.
What they're averaging points per game, to me, that's obviously a number that they're aware of. I would imagine it's got to be somewhere near first all time when you look at the amount of points that they're scoring. But it's ridiculous. And Kevin Durant has seamlessly fit into this basketball team. And it's almost like, don't you feel like it's almost like his basketball team, yet he's only been there for a year?
Well, I mean, listen, he had a great game one, and he came back with another great, great game two.
Oh, there's nobody on the court that
can
stop him.
Agreed. It's listen, it's fun to watch if you're a Warrior fan or if you just hate LeBron and the Cavs. So it's 2-0. It would be nice to see Cleveland in one game just to make it somewhat interesting. Meanwhile, the New York Mets made it interesting again yesterday. Listen, there's not much to say about being blown out 11-1. You know, nobody gets the job done. Conforto had two errors in the first couple innings defensively. They're now seven games under 500 again. But, you know, it was interesting, and I know you've seen it, the whole Neil Walker situation at second base with the review. Now, it's Neil Walker at one point does have his foot on the bag. So it wasn't the quote-unquote neighborhood play.
But now with the ball in his hands.
But as he makes the turn, and it's close, but his foot comes off the bag when he makes the turn and the pivot and the throw to Duda. And that's why there's replay.
It's literal. It has to be obvious for, first of all, the whole thing with the God Bless America and everything
right.
and the way that the
Very
whole thing
strange,
happened and
right?
everybody running off the field and all that other stuff, I think also added to like the Mets' madness of the season.
Yeah, it just looked crazy, you know. And if I'm Neil Walker, I'm pissed at the moment. He doesn't have the benefit of the replay right there. And it was by an inch or two, but you can't dispute the fact his left cleat comes off the bag before the ball's in his glove and he goes to make the throw. The guy's safe. You know, that's not why they lost the game, but it's just another embarrassing moment for the New York Mets in their own building. And I'm not blaming Neil Walker for it. I'm not blaming anyone else for it. But I've, in my lifetime, I don't know if you agree or not, I have never seen a team with more self-inflicted, you know, comedy of errors than the New York Mets. I really haven't.
Well, all I can hope for is that it's about as bad as it gets, and it has been now for about seven weeks, whatever it is, that there are good times ahead and that there are significant good times ahead, especially with Lugo and Matt's coming back now. At least you'll get a couple of extra arms in the starting rotation, and hopefully that starting rotation is going to give the rest of the team an uplift because they certainly need it right now. And again, I always say this, it's good that they're out of town. It's good
I
that
agree.
They need to get the hell and as far away as possible. Now, you know, and I don't know what is going on with Cespedes.
I don't think they do either.
I mean,
I mean, it's gone on, what's it been? Is it 2 months yet?
It's close.
It's got to be close to 8 weeks already, right? You know, first it was the hamstring, then it was the quad, then it was, we're not going to let him do anything until we know for sure he can jog. A couple days ago, I think on Friday, right after we left, you know, the Mets did announce that the return was going to be delayed yet again, and on and on and on and on and on. I don't get any of it, Boom. You know, I know they're saying Mats and Lugo are going to be back for the series against the Braves, right?
Right, yeah.
That's what they're saying. I mean, until I see one of them guys in a uniform on a field throwing for the Mets, I don't believe any of it.
Well, those guys actually
really
are
don't.
Pitching down in the minors.
I know they are, but until I see a guy come back, I don't want to hear about
it. And I guess they're scheduled to come back against the Braves
yes.
the second half of this road trip. They
the
start
weekend
with Texas
series,
tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the Mets.
And they're, by the way, they're eight games out now in the wild card.
No, the whole thing, listen, it's a joke.
But can it get any worse?
Yes. I don't know how, but the Mets seem to be able to find, you know, there's a saying about you're hitting rock bottom, right?
Yep.
Now, how you define rock bottom is, I guess, specific to an individual team, et cetera. I thought the Mets had already hit rock bottom, and then yesterday happens. 11-1 beatdown at the hands of the Pirates. I mean, it's. I don't blame people for not going. I don't blame you for leaving early. It's tough. You know, you're 7 games under .500, 8 games out of the wild card. Conforto yesterday has been so good this year. Makes 2 errors. Well, he throwing the ball all over the ballpark.
Yeah, but he hasn't been great like the last, I want to say, 8 or 9 days. I mean, I think he's batting .167. He's got 9 strikeouts. You know, he's making errors in the outfield. I'm like, you just want to shake the kid.
Yep. Then you have the Yankees. They split with Toronto. Actually, a pretty fun series. Had a chance yesterday, of course. They lose. Severin was great, by the way. Makes that one mistake. Donaldson takes him a yard. And they wound up splitting. Bit of a home run derby, though, throughout the weekend.
By the way, speaking of home run derby, did you see Aaron Judge's batting practice home
run? Yes. The one that's
over
got like 5
feet?
Million views already.
Holy
Yeah, it's crazy. I even yesterday after the game was watching the Joe Girardi show a little bit while I was
Look
making
at you
meatballs.
Watching the Joe Girardi show.
I was making meatballs, and then I put the golf on, and then I'm like, well, this is a great tournament. Look, I got 3 guys, and it was they were showing it last year's, or like a tournament from 2 years ago.
It was raining.
I didn't realize that it was in a rain delay.
Yeah.
So I had my kids with me. I go, listen, if Na hits a good drive here, he has a shot. They're like, this is amazing.
Is this a new report or an old report?
I had no idea what's going on. But I will say this. I watched that Joe Girardi show with Meredith Makhanagovich.
How'd that go?
I mean, it's fine. Whatever it is, it is. But he goes, he's never been around a guy in which the other guys stopped to watch him take batting practice. Like, A-Rod was, I guess, that guy when he was younger.
Right, I would imagine Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds. I would imagine all those guys, right?
Right, right, right. When they're in the middle of it, he goes, guys on our team, guys on the other team, guy, everyone, the fans, that guy's taking BP. It's like a must-see event, which shows you where he's at, you know, just from a popularity standpoint. Because he's a good-looking kid. He's playing for the Yankees. He's killing it right now. And as they say... And they say this. You know who they are.
Yeah, they are. They all
say
it. They
say this a lot.
Yes.
They say, to the victor goes the spoils.
Okay.
I imagine Aaron Judge is having a pretty good time with himself right now, no? Being Aaron Judge. It's going to be fun right now to be Aaron Judge.
Well, I think it would be more fun if the Yankees won.
But, yes, but being Aaron Judge right now is probably a lot of fun.
I mean, what you want to be is you want to be the Golden State Warriors is what you want to be.
But I'm saying... Being Aaron Judge right now, it's probably a lot of fun.
Right. So, all right, let me ask you this question. It is a lot of fun. I'm sure it's fun,
oh,
fun,
it's
fun all
be
over
amazing.
The place. Let's go to carnivals, that kind of fun.
You ain't lying.
How far away are your beloved Knicks from being even remotely,
good question.
Remotely in the stratosphere of the Golden State Warriors?
I thought about this frequently over the weekend, knowing that you'd ask me this question.
Who are the 4 guys that the Knicks can go and get?
That's not the right way to look at it. You asked a solid question.
Can
I'd like
Russell
to
Westbrook?
I'm going to answer your first question.
Can you get
first.
James Harden? Could they play together? Probably not.
The New York Knicks right now are a D-League team in comparison to what you're witnessing in this Jesus NBA Finals. They're so far away from even having a chance to compete at any level, let alone an NBA Final level. At best right now, your beloved New York Knicks are a D-League. Although, Carmelo Anthony got into it a little bit this weekend with another celebrity.
He did?
Yes, he did.
Who did he get into it with?
Chris Rock.
How did they get into it? I didn't see this.
This is a big, big story.
What
Bone.
Happened? I didn't see it.
So, you know, Chris Rock is divorced.
Okay.
Carmelo Anthony is going through what might be a divorce, but a separation, I guess, is the right way to put it right now, right?
Okay.
And I'm only bringing it up because they're both very public. So I guess Chris Rock, via social media, reached out to Lala. Carmelo didn't like that. The message got sent. Back up.
Oh, okay. Back up.
Back up.
Right.
Back it up.
Pump the brakes.
Back it up.
Stay woke and pump the brakes.
You don't want this. Back it up. Mm-hmm. So they're I guess they're going at it.
How about what happened with the Jets?
And the New York Jets.
I like what Leonard Williams did.
So Governor's Ball is a big concert. Huge every single year over at Randall's Island. And a couple Jets are there having a good time. Two of those Jets are named Darren Lee and Leonard Williams. Darren Lee gets into some type of argument with a young lady at the event. I'm assuming drinking's involved. I don't know. There's a fact. It's my assumption, though, okay?
Okay.
And I guess the vibe's being raised up on the back and forth to where it might go in a really bad direction. Leonard Williams picks Darren Lee up. And when I say picks him up, I want to be clear about
this.
It's
like a forklift.
Picks him up like he's a child.
Yeah.
Now, Darren Lee, in his own right, he's jacked, right?
Yeah.
Leonard Williams, to me, is now the single best Jet teammate a guy could ever have. And I'll explain to you in a second. So he, I don't know if you've seen the video or not.
I have, yes.
He picks him up and he walks him maybe 15 yards away. Darren Lee now puts his hands up like, I'm good, buddy, I'm good. And, you know, a lot of people there don't know that they're friends or they're teammates. So people rush in to try to help out. It's all good. Nothing happens beyond that point. But I watched that. Now, I did not see all the nonsense that allegedly occurred between Darren Lee and this young lady.
Yep.
But Leonard Williams is the Jet player of the week. Because by picking Darren Lee up and moving him away from the situation, probably saved Darren Lee, maybe this poor woman, and everyone involved from a really embarrassing night.
Right, right.
And maybe worse.
I think Leonard Williams is a great teammate.
That's the guy,
yes,
right there.
That's definitely what you want. Cooler heads need to prevail. And that, to me, was like a stand-up-and-cheer moment. And
Leonard Williams is my new man. That's my guy right there.
By the way, you know, Darren Lee is going to hopefully be a better player this year than he was last year.
Right.
Leonard Williams is going to be a stud this year. So, you know, there are some players that the Jets do have that I'm sure other teams would love to have.
That's the guy. I make him captain today. I do. If I'm Todd Bowles and Mikey Mack and the crew over there with the New York Jets, I see that. I'm disappointed in Darren Lee for sure. I think the Jets...
We don't know what happened. You don't know what antagonized Darren Lee. Something could have antagonized him, and Leonard Williams being really smart, being right on. So look, man, come on,
we'll let this play
another day. You do not need this.
No. So Leonard Williams is my new captain of the New York Jets, and all Jet marketing should be about Leonard Williams. Nobody else. Everyone else sucks. Leonard Williams is the guy. But I will say this.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember the last story of an athlete doing what, and I'm sure it happens a lot, we just don't see it because there's no video of it, or it's not in a public place like that. And again, I'm sure it happens, but it was actually refreshing to see Leonard Williams do what he did.
Forklift his teammate.
Right? Boom, boom, done. That was it.
So you don't remember this guy, but back in the day, there used to be a guy who used to play for New Orleans. His name was Jumpy Gethers.
I do remember him.
All right. Well, Jumpy Gethers was known as the forklift master. He would actually, that was his pass rush.
Right.
He would come off the line of scrimmage, and he would try to lift up the offensive lineman and throw him back into you. That's how strong he was.
I probably did that successfully.
That's what that reminded me of when I saw it. I'm like, man, Leonard Williams is a freaking beast.
So we got lots to do. We'll get your calls and all of it. Jerry's got the sound coming in a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.